Can I get a motion to open the meeting? Do we normally get a motion? No, we don't need that? Oh, we did that already. Okay. Can we all stand for the pledge?
Ginger?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do we have our middle school representative? Hi, come on.
So, good evening, Board of Education members. My name is Christian Lamantia. And here we go. Matlin and POB participated. Matlin POB participated in homecoming at the high school on Saturday, October 15th. As part of the homecoming parade, our student council members proudly held their banners and walked alongside the high school students. POB spirit and pride was evident, with the waves of blue and white everywhere while we cheered on the whole home team. The wait is over for our 5th and 8th grade students. Chromebooks have arrived. Students and parents attend the second Chromebook distribution night on October 18th, where Chromebooks were handed out and contracts signed. Students are very much looking forward to using this technology in their classrooms. Matlin and POB celebrated Unity Day on Wednesday, October 19th. Each year, Unity Day serves to remind us that our school is united against bullying and united for kindness, acceptance, and inclusion. In support of this day, students and staff are encouraged to wear orange. Students were invited to participate in a fun map activity leading up to Unity Day called Project Connect. Students created paper chain links with their definition of unity written on it. These links came together to create our Project Connect to celebrate this day. This chain made of over 700 links was a heartwarming display of wonderful messages about unity and our school community. The completed project chain was displayed in both buildings for all to see. Pride is in the house at Matlin. On Friday, October 21st, Matlin kicked off Pride Week with the Pride Card fundraiser and pep rally. Pride Week is a week-long event that celebrates the spirit of pride at Matlin Middle School. Pride Week opens with the pep rally during the day and is followed by a week of exciting activities which captures the character of our school. These activities include theme dress days, showcase design, hallway decorations, and a Shark Tank competition, which was held during extended map. Students worked all week with grade advisors, researching and preparing a presentation to pitch to the sharks and their peers at our first Matlin Shark Tank charity edition. The sharks were made up of teachers and district administrators. Based on these presentations, the sharks chose two charities, Sunrise Day Camp and NAMI, to which we will make a school-wide contribution. Matlin Service Club joined the fight against cancer. The Service Club sold pink ribbons, which were placed on our Tree of Hope. We were able to raise $120, which was donated to the American Cancer Society. We are currently working with Operation Gratitude to collect unwanted Halloween candy for our troops. The students have created cards for the servicemen to go along with the candy. On Thursday, October 20th, POB had a pink out in honor of October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month and for the birth of baby Natalie, Mr. Dennis's daughter. In honor of baby Natalie and to encourage school spirit, we raffled off Mr. Dennis's parking spot to the map advisor with the most pinked out map group. Welcome to the world, Natalie Dennis. On Friday, October 21st, POB came together and wore red to remember everyone deployed. Families and loved ones who have someone deployed wear red on Fridays to show respect. Everyone knows someone who has a loved one deployed overseas in our armed services. Even one of our very own teachers, Mr. Hayes' son, will soon be deployed. In an effort to remember everyone deployed, POB joined together to wear red to show support for our troops. Thank you for your time and attention and for allowing us to share all of the wonderful events happening at the middle schools. Have a great evening and see you next month. Have a safe and fun Halloween.
Thank you so much. You really give a great informative report and we appreciate it. I've been asked to go out of order now and go to reports and discussions and to 3.4 elementary summer reading assignment.
I'm going to give a little shout out to a team of administrators and students that are here tonight. I'm going to ask Mr. Yagloff to introduce the team of people, but this is the first time we're actually doing this project, and it was a technology embedded summer reading project, and a couple administrators put their heads together and tried to make it a little more fun. If you get an opportunity, you can go on your way out tonight. There's a big board out there that shows some of the other projects, but I don't want to take away your thunder, Mr. Yagloff, so I'm going to let you describe the project. But I just do want to say to the administration, they really worked an amazing team to really just think outside the box. And what we saw from the students was incredible, and we're going to highlight one of those tonight.
Thank you very much for the introduction. If I can call up the people I work with, Carolyn Talone, Ben Wiley, I'm sorry, and Eileen Anino. Would you like to come on up? So I'd like to start with giving you a little context. Our goal this year was to really try and breathe some life into the summer reading program. We've had some feedback over the last years, and some of the feedback came from parents, some from students, and some from the public library. And two of the biggest issues that really came up that was shared with us is, one, we always had a subset of kids that were complete go-getters and wanted to read the book in the very beginning of the summer. And even though we gave the graphic organizers, they would say, by the time we gave the assessment, to stay in accordance with the law, the third week of September, a lot of the kids were starting to forget. And another one of the issues was sometimes kids would borrow books from the library or borrow from a relative, not have it on hand. So the idea came up, what could be done for some of the kids that want to work over the summer and want to do things in a different way. We also really wanted to capitalize on the use of technology in the district, especially with kids using Google Drive more and more. So I worked with Jill, I ran the idea through her, we sat down with both middle school principals, and soon after, the team that you see sitting here was assembled, and we started work together. By the end of the year, I'd say about a couple of weeks into June, we sent an email blast home to all of the parents, explaining the assignments. Everything went really well over the summer. There wasn't that much give and take back and forth. The end of the summer and into the beginning of the school year, we received some feedback from some parents that there were some issues with uploading. Ben was wonderful about really looking at that from a technological standpoint, and what we did was we're able to kind of grow from that feedback that we received after doing it as a pilot and understand that we can be a little more explicit with the directions for how they can upload and the type of files. So we think that we're going to really kind of learn from this experience. I worked with Eileen, working with 6th and 7th grade teachers. We sat down with them, we viewed a number of the videos, we went over the rubric, we calibrated our scoring to make sure that we were on the same page. And just recently, really a lot of the wonderful work from Ben and Carolyn, we assembled what was really one of the goals of this, which there's one outside, huge bulletin boards with QR codes. So if you take a look, what we have right now is the actual covers of the books for all the books that were read over the summer with corresponding QR codes that are linked to the book book videos and the book movies that students made. So now, instead of just hearing from a librarian or a teacher, I think you would love to read this book, they can take a look at a book that they're intrigued by, use their QR scanner and link to a video of their peer going over the book, summarizing it, and giving a recommendation. So really we're kind of looking at a future of thinking that we could bank more and more of these. Also, we want to try and think about how QR codes could be used in instruction more and more. But I think one of the things I'm most excited about is working with this team on other types of projects of this nature. But we think kind of the proof is in the pudding, and wanted to be able to show you a video that a young lady, Alexis Buxbaum, is here. If she'd like to come on up, we'd like to introduce her. She did stellar, stellar work.
Welcome, Alexis. Thanks for joining us tonight. This is pretty exciting. So what we did was we chose one of the student videos to share with you, and I had an opportunity to speak with Alexis after I saw this video. I was so impressed, but I think not only are we impressed by the technology Alexis used, but if you really listen to her report about her book and her synopsis and I'm not sure if she's going to be a writer or she's going to go into drama in the future, but she certainly has a bright future ahead of her.
You there. My name is Alexis Buxbaum, and I was just in the middle of reading the classic tale 101 Ways to Bug Your Parents by Lee Orbach. Originally published in 1996, this humorous action-adventure story is about 12-year-old boy Steve Wyatt and his brilliant money-making scheme to write a book about 101 Ways to Bug Your Parents. We've all been there before. Am I right? Or am I right? The two main characters in this book are 12-year-old Stephen Wyatt, whose nickname is Sneeze, Achoo! Excuse me, it's allergy season, who loves to invent things, and his teacher, Mr. Powell, a.k.a. Scribbler. Our story begins with Steve and his family planning a vacation, but unfortunately, the vacation is too expensive, so they have to cancel it. Instead, they enroll Steve in a summer writing program.
He was not looking forward to the summer writing program. Who would? He would rather stay home and work on his inventions, like the Nice Alarm. The Nice Alarm is an invention that taps you two times lightly on the shoulder instead of jolting you out of bed with an obnoxious banging and clanging. Stephen was really mad at his parents. Because while they were supposed to be on vacation in San Francisco, Steven was planning on bringing his Nice Alarm to the invention convention. Not being able to bring the Nice Alarm to the invention convention means he'll never be rich and famous.
And that is the main conflict of the story. All Steven ever wanted was to go to the invention convention, but his parents won't help him get there. Mr. Scribbler told Steven that he is to write a book for his summer writing program. He thought, what kind of book can I write that I can sell for enough money to go to the invention convention? And then it happened, an idea so brilliant, so wonderful, so poetic, a topic every kid could easily write 100 books about. He thought, I'll write about all the different ways I can bug my parents. Does he sell enough books to go to the invention convention? You'll have to read the book yourself to find out. But what I can tell you is, this is a story about a boy who feels like his parents are not taking him seriously. By writing 101 Ways to Bug Your Parents, he hopes that his parents will give him the support that he deserves. I think this book is really funny. It's great for anyone who likes silly books and a great message. It's really about communication. You'll see what I mean once you read it. Steven is a creative person. Whether it's making inventions or writing stories, he just wants to help people and have fun while doing it. I can relate to Steven's character because I like to express myself creatively too. Sometimes my parents aren't that psyched about my experiment, but at least I know they support me. Well, look at that. We're out of time. I hope you join me again next time. Well, until then, I'm going to get back to my book. Thanks for watching.
We're not over yet. There's a blooper reel.
Wait, can I just... I need to warm up. Okay. Mommy, tell me if this is a little bit over the top. The Nice Alarm is a machine that taps you two times lightly on the shoulder. And he just messed up my lines. 12-year-old Stephen Wyatt, his nickname is Sneeze. Achoo! Excuse me.
That's good.
You won't be able to hold this straight. She wants to.
Alexis is willing to tell us about her experience. Do you want to come over here where you can hear it and you speak with that?
Authentic.
Wow.
There you go. You can take a seat.
What it was like compared to that, like regular book assignment or anything you want to say.
So I really wanted to do this book assignment because I wouldn't want to do the writing because I think I'm a really creative person and I like creating things and I didn't want to write about it because that's not that creative. So I wanted to do a movie, and since my dad, he's really good with technology, he would help me do it, and that came out really great. So,
Alexis, that was amazing. And I want to tell you that the board had, during a board retreat, we had Mr. Wiley teach us how to use Google Docs. And he used your presentation as an example of what Google Docs could do. So we were blown away at the time. And I think we all are collectively blown away at what you've put together. So thank you.
You're welcome.
So we had, I think, over 100 students actually put together a video. And again, this was sixth and seventh grade this time around. But we've gotten a lot of positive feedback, and we hope to promote it by actually showing the student videos throughout and the schools, and again with the QR codes. And I think it was a really nice way to show how our students are using technology and what they're capable of as early as sixth and seventh grade.
I think also something else, communication. How she was able to communicate when she laughed, and you could, you know, just watch the other things around her and stuff like that. But it's important for students to be able to, especially in today's day and age, be able to present themselves differently instead of in shorthand. And I think it was just brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
I think we'd also like to thank you and your committee because you heard some feedback and then decided to run with it, and we love that. You know, we really love that, so thank you.
And her parents could come and, you know, do a board meeting once things flying around. That was wonderful.
Okay, now we're going to go on to board announcements. No high school rep. Jody?
Am I on? Okay.
Yep.
On October 27th, the district held its very first Meet the Candidates Forum. It was organized with between the Board of Ed's Legislative Committee and the PTA Council. We had six, seven candidates show up. Very informative. We actually had a nice crowd of about 50, which I was happy to see. The weather was horrible that night. And there was also some big hubbub going on at the Water Commission where, you know, there were about 100 residents there. So I was very, very pleased with the turnout. Variety of questions. My goal was, you know, I know that we have events like this at the library, at the JCC, but those conversations tend to be kind of all over the map, encompassing a bunch of different topics. I wanted to keep the questions for the candidates as education-focused as possible, and I think we were able to do that. I guess about 40 or 50% of the questions were education-related. You know, there were some other topics thrown in there, but, you know, the community got to hear where the various candidates stand on important educational issues and other topics, and I hope that this is something that we will continue to do in the future because I think it's important for, you know, our community, whether it's education issues or not, to just hear from the candidates as many times as possible so they can make the most informed decision when voting. I do want to thank some people who played a big hand in pulling this off. Paula Barsky from PTA Council, Sarah Bogatti from the Parkway PTA, and Ivy Chasen from the high school. But the person who was very instrumental in pulling this all together was our district clerk, Ms. Tyler. She pretty much handled everything from soup to nuts, all the logistics, rounding up the candidates when they wouldn't RSVP to make sure that they were coming, you know, making sure everything was set up beforehand, you know, sending thank yous out to the candidates, coordinating with our moderator, who was Ilan Wurzel from the Plainview Old Beth Page Chamber of Commerce. So I want to give a special thank you to Jean for all her hard work in making our very first candidates forum a success.
You're you're not blushing too much.
And Jody, on behalf of the board, we'd like to thank you. No flowers, sorry. But we'd like to thank you for coming to us with the idea and then running with it. I know that you put a lot of work into it. Paula, thank you. And I hope we continue to do this as well. It's great to make sure that we have an informed electorate.
Seth?
On that note, I think I might beat Ginger to it, and that is the right to vote is one of the great hallmarks of our American democracy. Tomorrow is Election Day. Every year I say it, the meeting before, please go out to vote. And for the 16 of you that have blessed us with your presence, go home and tell your friends or family members, your neighbors, and bring your children. Expose them to the process. It's so important. So go out, vote, make your voice heard.
Thank you, Ginger.
On that note,
one of the biggest disappointments I've had over the last couple of weeks are seeing college students applying for absentee ballots. They don't know how to fill them out. And because they fill them out incorrectly, they lose the right to vote. And I would think that in a high school, every senior should have to fill out an absentee ballot so that they understand, request what that looks like. There's only 8 lines. How many don't sign their name, don't put an address, or leave something out? And I was heartbroken when we were trying to figure out how many young people, their first time to vote in a very different type of election, lost the right to vote because they didn't follow directions, or when a cutoff date is November 1st, decide to send it in from California on November 2nd or 3rd. Not a doable type of thing. So I would really like to make sure every senior in high school knows how to fill out one correctly, so when they go away to college, it will be embedded with them. Would you just give it them an extra one to go away with? That's a great idea. Thank you. Anybody else? Lauren?
I, too, just I did go to meet the candidate site, and it was so it was great personally for me because a lot of there's so many new candidates, and so I hope we continue to do it, and I hope more people come out. Hopefully it won't be a rainy night and other activities going on. But it was so great to get and meet these candidates and hear where they stand on such important issues to us and our community and our children and I thought it was great. So thank you to all. And thank you, Jody, for bringing it to us. I think it was wonderful. I did attend the Parkway Halloween party. It was a lot of fun, great dancing, great pizza, cute kids all dressed up, so it was a lot of fun. And just a reminder that it's Septa Night Out this Thursday, so if you haven't already purchased your tickets, come paint. I will be there, too.
Anybody else? If you have one, for sure. Share that I was at the Foreign Language Honor Society. And it was absolutely wonderful. That's very near and dear to my heart. And I loved seeing all the children who have excelled in the area of foreign languages. And I commend the district because there were so many of them. So it was a pleasure to be there.
I saw that.
Thank you. Okay, then we're going to go on to pilots.
Ms. Cunningham?
Not pilots.
Okay, I guess this is a follow-up on the presentation that I did last week. Following up on that conversation, I don't know if there are any particular questions. I know at this time there has been no further application regarding the pilot we were originally concerned about.
The letter.
So I don't know on the heels of that if you want to.
Okay, well,
the
at the last board meeting, we suggested that the legislative committee put together a letter,
So
we have drafted a letter which has been reviewed by the legislative committee and the other members of the board, reaching out to our Town of Oyster Bay and Nassau County legislators, urging them to think very, very carefully before they approve any pilots in the future because of their negative impact on the school district. So I guess what's the next step to circulate that to the public for feedback before it goes out?
I think we can just send it out. We'll place it on our website.
Okay.
And Yeah, I think that would be the process, right?
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Can I just ask a question? Would it make sense for us to try to reach out to other districts about this issue? You know, about pilots.
The answer is yes. But okay. The Superintendents Association has already decided to go at this as a Nassau County issue, so that no one district, because, you know, there are different districts that are affected differently, and, you know, it's really not PC, and you know, because you know it's a tax issue, and that we do need to attract businesses to Nassau County, but if we show it in a collective manner, showing, you know, if we show what the impact is for Plainview, it's not that many dollars, but when we collect it as a county and we put those dollars, they're in the millions of dollars that are
But the truth of the matter is, it still does affect all of our other taxpayers.
It absolutely does.
They're bearing the burden that the place who's getting the pilot is not.
Correct. So we've decided to collect that data and to attack it from a Nassau County perspective, rather than individual districts.
Jody? It's very interesting. This question did come up at candidates night, and one of the interesting things that one of the candidates did say was that, you know, the pilots in some cases aren't really doing what they're supposed to do, because they're not just supposed to attract the local business here for the couple of years that they're getting the tax break. They're supposed to keep them here long term, and in some cases that's not happening, that they're being granted so kind of willy-nilly that, you know, the businesses are coming, taking their tax break for 5 years, and as soon as the tax break expires, they're packing leaving. Up and they're moving out, which really offers no long-term benefit to our community, as opposed to the original goal, which was to get a business to come here and really plant roots and stay even long after the tax break was over. So, you know, in addition to hurting the schools, we may not be seeing the benefits. So it's just, you know, it's something that you know, needs to be thought of. And Plainview, Old Bethpage, you know, we're in even more of a precarious position, because when these businesses, you know, we have a very, very small commercial base compared to some other towns in our area. So when we have a company that gets a break, it's individual households that have to pick up their burden. It's not other businesses that can help shoulder the burden. So,
or in the case of Valley Stream, where the mall actually got a pilot because they were a tourist attraction. That's, I mean, literally, that's the excuse
that's
that they gave. Because
crazy.
And it's not so far-fetched, because most of the people who use the Valley Stream Mall are coming in from the city. So they consider it money's being brought in to Long Island from the city. So that's how they got their pilot. And Valley Stream 30 actually had their tax, when they put out their tax, they were negative.
Right.
They actually they reduced their levy by 10%, and the household got an increase of 12%.
Right.
So it's a 22% markup. Because of that pilot, it really hurts.
Really impacted
them. It really did impact them. So I think what we're hearing is that they're going to disband
the IDA.
That's what we're hearing, that they're going to disband and begin anew. But we are, as superintendents, we are going to attack it from a Nassau County perspective.
Okay, great. And thank you, Legislative Committee, for putting it together. And you'll place it on our website, right? Okay, great. Thank you. Superintendent announcements.
So one of the reasons some of the administrators have left is because they are going to be involved in a wonderful event tomorrow. In fact, you saw in the paper today, the Jericho School District did an on-conference this weekend. We are going to, K-12, be doing what's called an on-conference. So we're doing a staff development day that is from within. Our own staff will be presenting opportunities for dialogue and opportunities for sharing best practice, K-12 tomorrow, and I really think tomorrow is going to be a landmark day in our district for many reasons, including the unconference.
We hope.
So I thank publicly Jill and her band of superpowers, super people, which is what they're calling themselves. They are. They absolutely are. They're transforming the district. And I want to thank the energy that if you could see, I'm a voyeur on the email. I have done nothing. I've just watched the email fly across at all hours of night. Do you have this? Do you have this? I'll bring this. Don't worry about it. I've packaged it. I've got this done. Check. I mean, it's just an amazing energy that's flowing across the district, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's event. So it's tomorrow. I know I've invited the board to join us for the breakfast. It's going to be exciting. And then on Sunday, I had the opportunity to attend the Friends of the Library concert done by our high school. Actually, there was a middle school trio. Music department in honor of Josh's family was there. The Friends of the Library presented them with a plaque. The children were amazing. They were absolutely amazing. In some cases, they've transformed some of the songs to introduce Josh's name into it. Some of the pieces that were done just really brought a tear because they, the children went out of their way to express their gratitude to Josh. Wow. And the work that he has done. And it wasn't superficial. It was deep. The music staff, they were all there. It's a Sunday afternoon, and they were there with the children, and it was nothing short of impressive. There were about 10 different groups.
Wow.
Performing. There were four a cappella groups. And finally, the music, Paula, help me out. The one your son is in. The mixed choirs. Thank you. They surrounded the library. And
oh, that's great.
Just chilling. Just
so, so meaningful to Josh's family.
It was. It was meaningful to the district. And I have to say, so many people showered accolades on the board, on the district, on the wonderful place that Plainview Old Bath Page is because of the teachers and what they and the staff and what they have done to produce this quality. The music program is amazing. Glenn Rubin, I mean, Rich Oliveri was there. I mean, just people coming out to support the program. But
and Josh.
The children were
just amazing.
Outstanding. Every group, one after the other, was just that's outstanding. Great. And a middle school group, which was good to see. That and this young lady who did the Chinese zither, oh my gosh, she was outstanding. Outstanding. She performed in China this summer, and there was an article written up about her. I'm sure her parents would love. It's Vivian Chen's daughter, but the grandmother, you know, his grandmother's always.
Right.
You know.
yes, but, I know.
Yes, but she is. If you've never seen the Chinese zither, it's just a different kind of instrument, cross between a harp and harpsichord, or it's just amazing to see her. But she is at a quality that she's performing in China,
wow,
in a competitive way. And
that is amazing.
That is amazing. So kudos to her.
Thank you.
Okay, so sometimes we are 50%.
Can you just do one more announcement?
Yeah.
So on the table when you came in, there is a digital citizenship night that's coming up on Monday, November 14th, so next Monday night at 7 p.m. It is a K-12 parent night, and it's being run by Lori Lynn, our guidance director, and a team of guidance staff members and teachers in general. So it's not just affiliated with the guidance department, some social workers. But I think if you look at the, and although it's small print over there, I barely read it myself. It's on the website, and it was e-blasted out.
You can make it bigger on the website.
It was e-blasted out to every family, but I think it's really important that we get families out for this event. There's plenty of parent resources at this event that night, but there is, during Digital Citizenship Week, there are specific topics for every single grade level. So just to give you an example, kindergarten, your digital community, first grade, powerful passwords, I mean, already in first grade, screen out the mean in cyberbullying in grade four, to like eighth grade, creating a positive virtual profile and how important that is, what students post about themselves. Digital and academic appropriateness, identity theft, going up into the higher the high school grades. The work that's behind this is really incredible, and it's grown over the years. You know, we started out very small doing it, you know, during the week and in school, and now this parent night. So I just would like to encourage everyone to come out for the event. Our administrators, you know, you saw the team of people here tonight, but how many people at our direct, just Friday meeting with the chairs and directors, how many people were involved in this type of conversation? Because it really goes beyond, you know, just what goes on here at school. And we really need a partnership in this. So
that's great. Are we planning on e-blasting it?
So we did e-blast it out, the newsletter out to all families.
Great. Thank you.
So I just wanted to bring everyone's attention to the district calendar at 16-17. The single page is correct. So is the district calendar. However, we didn't shade out a couple of days that I need to bring your attention to. I think there are copies outside. You should have seen copies. Are there?
Yeah.
Right, great. So if you look at the March vacation, that's this year, not next year. That's this year's vacation. I'm sorry, the April vacation. April days. April 10th is inclement weather day four. That should be shaded. School is closed, but if we need a snow day, that would be the fourth snow day. April 17th and 18th are inclement weather again. If their school is closed, if you look at the website, it is correct on the website, but the hard copy was not shaded out. So we will e-blast a letter out. All our inclement weather days are not shaded. I think also in May, inclement weather, where is it? In May, she copied the wrong one. May 26th. So the single page calendar is correct. The calendar on the website is correct, but the hard copy that was mailed home, thank you to whomever alerted us to that the hard copy was not correct. So just again, inclement weather days, school is closed if we have great weather. And again, we do have the February break this year. I think we also have a draft of the 17-18 that we talked about last time. We're still waiting. We said we would adopt it at the next board meeting. So we're waiting for input from everyone, and we will adopt it the next board meeting. But that also has the February break in it. We did have a parent who wrote us about the Diwali.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have some concerns. One concern that has been aired. We do, as we've just settled a contract, and this is something we have to think about and its impact. We have 183 days, and it's at this moment very difficult to fill the 183. Sayasat has adopted Eid and Diwali. They have 178 days right now, and they're looking for where they're going. Their calendar right now, they have not adopted a calendar because they haven't adopted these days. They now can't find the days to between between rating day and September.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't rush into these things. We have to really look at it, look at our contracts and how we will be able to accommodate it. But it is a conversation. I didn't want anyone to think that the board has not really looked into it or
and
will be
continue
looking,
to
and
look
will
into
continue
it.
To look into it.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to now go into reports and discussion. Recognition from Relay for Life.
Are they here? Oh, yes, of course.
Hi, everyone. My name is Megan Neary. I am the American Cancer Society staff partner for the Relay for Life here in Plainview Old Bethpage. I've been working on this event for about 4 years now. I just wanted to take a few minutes, I promise, like 1 minute, to really just come and meet you all in person and say thank you for all that you guys do to support the Relay for Life and that all the community does to support it. We are going into our 14th year relaying in Plainview Old Bethpage, and over the last 13 years, you guys here in Plainview have raised over $1.2 million to support the American Cancer Society just through Relay for Life. I know you guys do a lot for our Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk as well, but just through Relay, Plainview has raised over $1 million, which is not something that happens in a lot of communities on Long Island. There's really just a few that do that. So it's really impressive. It's something to be really proud of. And I just wanted to come and say thank you for all that you have done to support us. Thank you for continuing to support us. We have almost 99% officially set our date for this year. We'll be on June 10th. And we do have a new chairperson this year with me here today, Jen Byron, will be taking over the relay here. I know Mrs. Ralton from Matlin has been doing it for the last 3 years, and we are excited to have some new perspectives and new ideas and new people involved, and we think this is going to be a really, really great year for the relay here. So I just wanted to present you with a small token of our appreciation and just say thank you. So that's all I've got.
Thank you.
Megan, I just want to thank you for all that you've done for Relay. I mean, I think since my kids have started elementary school, I've been coming out every time for Relay. You do an incredible job. So thank you for all you do. And just, I know there's a small group tonight, but whoever's listening, just come on out, bring your kids. It's a great night. I order in, like, literally Umberto's, and they cater it. They bring it to you on the field, and just bring your family, bring a football, hang out with your friends, bring your parents, bring everybody, bring the kids. It's important for the kids to see. It's an important cause. Unfortunately, everybody is touched by this crazy disease, but we need to fight the fight. So thank you, and thank you, Jen Byron, for taking over.
Thanks, Lauren. And I'd also like to thank a really very generous community who have continued to donate year after year. You know, a few times Lorna would say to us, you know, do you think the community, like, it needs a break? And every year the community comes together, and on behalf of the board, I'd like to thank our community as well for being so generous. Okay, our next item is the bond capital projects update.
Do you want to do it now before he does that? Because we're
okay.
We don't want to put administrative salary proposals up here.
What? Really?
Okay, here is the monthly update. I tried to kind of dovetail into last month's where I showed you where we were in the process, what projects we had done, what things we were had submitted and we had not received approval for, and what things we were still working on. So this is really just the activity in the last month. Since we last met, the Jamaica Avenue window partial replacement was started and finished. So I have some pictures that look really good. If you drive past that building at night, one of the things we had talked about when we were kind of looking at the window project in the winter was the idea of these cowl wall windows. which are kind of semi-transparent. If you drive past Jamaica, look at the all-purpose room at night, the windows kind of glow. It looks very nice. We received approval on our lighting and ceiling partial replacements at JFK High School, POB Middle School, and Matlin Middle School. That is estimated to be about $2 million worth of work, and we're looking to do that during this coming summer. So we're putting together the bid packets now, and we also have to look at how we're going to utilize our buildings during the summer in order to get that work done. The projects that were submitted were POB JFK High School air conditioning in the cafeteria, Old Bethpage air conditioning in the gym, and here, the Matlin Middle School atrium skylight replacements. Just to give you an idea of what Jamaica Avenue looks like now, is the top picture, and it's kind of hard to see in this. We have a before and after. The old windows had been kind of replaced along the way. Some were plexiglass and were yellowing. The new windows are bright, and already we can tell just based on the last week that it did make a very positive improvement in the temperature control in the facility. In this case, we're looking at the gym. We're still working on Pasadena and Parkway windows, although we're just about wrapping up there. We're looking at the pictures as they look now. Notice on the pictures, these are actually two different schools. On the left is Pasadena. On the right is Parkway. I sent two people out to take pictures at the same time. They both complained that I sent them there when the buses were there. You can see the buses are in the windows, okay? We do have some tidying up to do, particularly I'll use the picture on the left. You'll see that there's a white panel amongst the windows there. And one of the things we found is that when the project was designed, we thought we were putting air conditioners in some of these windows. We changed the air conditioning plan, however, the plans didn't follow. So in the administrative area to the right of the front doors in both buildings, eventually you'll see those white panels get replaced with glass panes. There are also some locations where the original design of the building had fixed windows. They weren't really used for instructional spaces, but now they are. We found a couple locations where that adjustment wasn't made during the design process, so we'll be installing, retrofitting those windows with Arrow, the installer, to allow those windows to open to provide ventilation to the outside. Also, just a little glimpse on the bottom of the shades. The shades are going in. You'll notice in some places, in some of the classrooms, we don't have complete sets of shades. Each set is custom made, and the installer, if they don't fit, he doesn't cut them. He has them remade to fit the window exactly. So there are some classrooms where there'll be a strip of shades missing. That's it for this month. Do you have any questions?
No, great.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to once again take something out of order. Could somebody turn the light on? Thanks, Lauren. On the agenda, we have under new business a resolution to rename Parkway Elementary School to the Judy Jacobs Parkway Elementary School. And we're going to have a discussion now, Ginger.
Yeah, we've been, I guess, the last two board meetings talking about different ideas that had come up to recognize and remember Judy Jacobs. We talked about something in the high school, then we heard a lot of playgrounds, and then the issue had come up of naming, renaming Parkway the Judy Jacobs Elementary School, partially because Judy had a very special relationship with Parkway between the staff and the parents, but mostly with the students who relished going to the legislative sessions with her. Judy would come and read. I think it was also the traffic light right between the school and Sally Road that for many, many years there were so many accidents and everybody was so afraid, and Judy was finally able to really protect the school. It's just not about naming a building, and I did a lot of soul searching because I turned around and I said, well, what's named after a person? And it's this building was named after a board member who had passed away at a very young age. It's the recognition of someone who really is someone that we would like all of our children to exemplify. Judy was a politician, but she never was a politician. She was always Judy Jacobs. That separated her out from everybody else. She could go and she could laugh. She could sit with kids. She could tell them funny stories. She became a part of their lives, and they became a very important part of her life. And as I reflected over the years, the many times I would meet Judy at Parkway or things that would happen or be at the legislative meetings when the children came in for 8 years, I would go with Judy and she'd give every kid a crayon and she'd always make sure, count to me, count and count again. No kid could leave her if they didn't have the crayons. But it was the lesson in civics that she taught them. It wasn't about party. It was about how do we get along and how to resolve conflicts without raising tempers, without storming out. How do we talk to one another? Why should a law be enacted? And these were the lessons that she wanted students to learn. I began to think, what a wonderful lesson, especially for elementary children today, to learn about how to treat one another, the tone and climate in which they're facing. And I think it would be my greatest honor to make a motion to name Parkway School the Judy Jacobs Elementary School, but I'd also feel that we would all like to just hear input from the school and from other people in the community about how they feel about it. You know, Maya Angelou said, some people forget what you say, some people forget what you do, but people never forget how you make them feel. And Judy made everyone feel special. And it was that Parkway was a very special school to her. So I'd just like to throw it out.
If I could just add to that, Ginger, it was so special to have Judy not only come to Parkway, but when, first of all, she was an honest politician. Well, forget that, you know, one of a kind. But the truth is that when the children would go to the legislature, and they would actually sit in the legislators' seats and argue over a bill because half of them would be constituents and half of them would be lawmakers. And then they would switch roles, but just their ideas. And Judy would throw out ideas. And how many kids come back, because it was there enough years to have half the parents as students, and tell me that she inspired them, that experience was amazing. And yes, she was just an amazing human being. So to me, it would be the biggest honor in the world that, you know, we have the building named after her.
I did
actually. Seth always raises
my hand more than everybody else usually.
Yes, he does.
I think we all share the same view. Judy Jacobs was respected and admired by everyone that she met, that worked with her, that knew her. And she did a lot, not only for Plainview, Old Beth Page, but also for Nassau County, Long Island. And she certainly had an impact. She was a good person more than anything else. The consummate legislator. I wish there were more of her type. And I do believe that POB should recognize her and honor her. And to name something, whether it's Parkway or the high school, it seems that there is
something in the high school.
The John Fitzgerald Kennedy Judy Jacobs. No, so you know, I think the board has expressed a desire to honor her and name something. The current thought is to focus on Parkway. You know, I would just say that, you know, certainly as a non-Parkway parent, I mean, Judy Jacobs had an impact on the entire district. And so when we think about, you know, you have to think about, obviously, she did have a special relationship with Parkway, but she impacted all. So one of the ideas that Ginger had originally threw out there was to do something in the high school, because that is the only building where everyone feeds into. Those of you that knew her better and longer than I certainly, you know, rely on that feedback. But I do appreciate the fact that, you know, she impacted the entire POB community. So I think at least putting out there what the current thought process is of the board, but also allowing the community a little bit of time to provide feedback. Maybe there's an idea out there that we didn't think of. Maybe this is the idea that we're going to run with. Ultimately, we have to make that decision, but at least allow the Parkway community in particular on this issue, the POB community in general, to provide feedback. It's, you know, something that we take seriously, and so we want to give you the opportunity to share. That's it.
Thank you. Lauren?
As a board member, as a Parkway parent, I was very emotional at the last Board of Ed meeting, so my apologies for not being a little bit more vocal. As most of us, we want to picture the ones we lost on vacation, not really truly gone. And I just wanted to say, when I picture Judy, it's always with a book in her hand. As a board member, we're asked to read at the schools, which is truly one of my favorite things to do. Last year, I read at Old Bethpage Elementary School, and we had to bring a book and discuss our career at Maya as a Board of Ed member. And I was sitting with a former Board of Ed member, Gary Patan, and he whispered to me, he said, "Lauren, just pray you don't go after the police officer or a firefighter, because they're not even going to want to listen to you. The kids just love them." And I said to myself, I just don't want to go after Judy Jacobs, because she's like a legend, and kids all love her. But one of my sons was very lucky to go to the legislative field trip. It was by far his favorite field trip of all times. Very emotional when I told him about how we tragically lost her. Both of my sons, like most of POB, were lucky enough to be read by Judy, and I was lucky enough to be inspired by her. She taught me how to lead with your heart as somebody in, we are all in elected officials, to do what's right for the kids and to make sure when you take a vote, you can lay your head down on a pillow and feel good about your decisions. I can't think of a more apropos honor than to rename a school in Judy's honor. She was a staple to our community, to our children, to our staff, a woman who truly led with her heart, made positive changes even when the difficult ones, and put our district first. She also showed us how in a crazy political world, taking the high, honest road does actually work. And so I look forward to staff, student, parent, and community feedback and what they'd like to see to honor Judy Jacobs and what they think about renaming either Parkway School or something else in her honor. So thank you.
Thank you. I don't want to reiterate everything that everybody said. I definitely look forward to hearing comments from the community. The one thing, especially having now gone through this election process, Judy showed how you can be a politician but really be a public servant and be there for the public, not for yourself or for certain groups of people. She was really there for everybody. And so, you know, we're not going to name the whole district, but, and I was not lucky enough to be a Parkway parent. However, I really do believe that if we're going to name a specific building, her relationship with Parkway was just different. Doesn't mean she didn't love every building and every child in the district, because she did. She just had a different relationship with Parkway. So with that, we would all love to hear from the public how people feel, and we will agenda it. Another discussion and then a decision in the future. So thank you. Okay, now we're going to go on to the Pride survey results.
Mr. Brayfield?
Good evening, how's everyone doing?
No, you can't.
On your Movember.
I think it looks fantastic.
Yes. No, see, that looks good.
Well, we have to give Rich some time.
I will say this, I did cheat. I did start
you
a week early.
Oh.
I will not take you didn't have
we should
take.
Be.
I'm not the person.
We thought you were using Rogaine, you know.
No. You may be using Grecian.
Joe.
I started the week early, guys.
It was a good excuse.
Well, we hope you're feeling better.
Joe, thanks for coming out tonight to share the Pride survey results. I just want to give a little shout out to Joe and his team of teachers for putting together the survey and working through the results. At this time, for purposes of this board meeting, it's just a presentation of the results. Joe, after having just collated the information, will be sharing it out with his departments and then reporting back at another time about like their plan to how to attack some of the issues within the report. But Joe, thanks for coming out for a quick presentation tonight.
I'd like to thank Brian Gurney, who helped me put this presentation together. He was instrumental in getting a lot of the data together. We sat and met a couple of times, but a lot of what you see here today is Brian. Brian's a teacher within our district who's looking to become an administrator. I think he'll do, based upon this, he's going to do a great job.
Is your mic on?
No, it is. Sorry. So, as you know, in the, we have used the Pride survey here in Plainview since 1998. It is a norm reference survey that we use. It is completely 100% anonymous for our students, and it does it is field tested in university settings to assure reliability and validity. And I'll kind of walk through that a little bit as we go through. Who is surveyed? We survey 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th graders. As you can see, that's not our full class. Reason for that is sometimes the Pride survey itself throws out student surveys that are, they find out, you know, one question might say, when do you use alcohol and tobacco? And one time they say, I use it, one time I say, I don't use it. So they throw that survey out. These are the truest surveys that we have within the district at those four levels. So annual use of alcohol and tobacco, again, within Plainview Old Bethpage, it is way below the national norms, and that has been consistent over the last several years within our school district. annual tobacco use, just so you guys know, Plainview Old Bethpage is in the Navy and national average is in white. Annual alcohol use within our school district, in sixth grade, it's slightly higher than the national norm. Eighth and 10th grade is roughly about the norm, and then by 12th grade, we do exceed the national average in alcohol use.
Sixth grade. That's what I just said.
So the annual marijuana use within our school district, at the middle school level, it is non-existent. But as our students make the transition to high school, it does look like we start to see an increase in marijuana usage all the way into 12th grade, where it's almost 40% of our students have said that they have used marijuana over the past year, and we are above the national norms. Illicit drugs, which would include your hallucinogenics, could be used prescription drugs and could be other type of drugs. Again, one of the things that we'll look at is the eighth graders with the 8.1. I mean the sixth graders with the 8%, because this does include prescription drugs. So we want to just scrub that numbers a little bit better with our sixth grade students to make sure that they're not thinking that Tylenol is inappropriate. So that was one of the things that we want to clarify, because you do see in eighth grade that is back to 2%. But once again, there is an increase once again through 10th through 12th grade. We have used the Pride survey since 1998, it does give us a lot of data to look at trends within our school district. There has been a sharp decline in tobacco use within our district, which is outstanding. And we are well below the national norms, as you saw before. Alcohol use, this past year, while we were in a trend of going downward, this past survey did show an uptick in alcohol use in all grade levels across the board from 2 years ago. Annual marijuana use is roughly about the same level as it was 2 years ago, which is still down sharply from 8 years ago. Illicit drug use, once again, is down. And the trend does seem like it is going down as well, although the 10th grade did show a slight uptick from 2013. Perceptions and availability, this was something that I noticed, and this is something that I think that we, going forward, is something I would like to dig a little bit deeper into as we get further into the school year. Perception, parents' disapproval, this is fairly consistent from where it was 2 years ago when we conducted the survey. Our students do feel that our parents are believe that it is wrong or very wrong to use tobacco, alcohol, or marijuana. And that's fairly, it's fairly consistent across the board. It seems like our community members and parents are giving a consistent message across the board. Where we see some differences is the perceptions of our friends' disapproval. In sixth grade, the disapproval for using tobacco, alcohol, and marijuana is high. In eighth grade, it starts to drop, but it's still pretty high. But by the time it gets to 10th and 12th grade, you start to see the perceptions of friends' disapproval drop sharply, all the way down to only about 40% of the 12th graders last year thought that their friend would disapprove of them using marijuana. And 60% of them thought of disapproving of them using alcohol in a setting. So those are some of the things that I think we as a department and as a district need to look a little bit deeper into and looking how that, because I do think that some of those, you know, some of those are something that I think does affect some of our trends that we see. This was something that stood out to me based upon what I saw from last year, from 2013 to 2015. And this is what students are reporting as gateway drugs, fairly easy or very easy to get. The numbers in bold are increases from 2013 to 2015. If you look at marijuana, for example, in 6th, 8th, and 10th grade, all showed an increase that it was easy to find marijuana at those age levels, so much so that it was 10% increase in 8th grade for marijuana usage and almost 12% in alcohol availability at those levels as well. At the 12th grade level, it was about roughly the same or a little bit down in most cases about the availability to find some of the from two years ago. So that's something that I think we should dig a little bit deeper into and see where those things are coming from. Is it from there is some ways that we can scrub the number, where the kids are getting it, or where are they using it? Those are the type of things that we as a department are going to look deeper into as we start to get a little bit more detailed into it. This is the first year that that Pride was allowed to bring prescription drugs into as a question of fairly easy to get. Again, it seems that it's fairly consistent, about 20% across the board that they feel that they can find prescription drugs. Once again, I think with the sixth graders, I still want to make sure that they get the clear delineation of what illegal overuse of prescription drugs and the ones that the doctor actually prescribes to them as well. And that's our survey. As Jill said, we are going to look very deep into this as a department and see what we can do and work with different areas of our school district, guidance, social work, principals. We are in the process of trying to develop certain things that if we fruition for the community. But I think the trend, while it was trending downward recently, I think the last couple of years, just that the thing that makes me nervous is the availability that it is for our kids, and also the friends' approval and disapproval of what's available. Because I think the parents are giving a good message. I think now we have to address some of the other things maybe with the students.
Thank you so much. Does anybody have any questions, Ginger?
Yeah. The Pride survey is about this thick, right?
Yeah.
Would there be a chance that the board could go through it?
Yeah.
You could have one copy and we could share it or whatever.
I can pass it along to Jill. That's no problem.
My concern are the eighth grade numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not real to me.
Okay.
Kids go to bar and bat mitzvahs. They're drinking. It's a year of introduction to a lot of alcohol and social pills. And I think that they're pretty clever. And, you know, I've appreciated the Pride survey over the years, but I've also been skeptical about certain things. And I just think that this shouldn't be a false thought, that our eighth graders, of all the kids, should be inundated about the dangers of alcohol and drugs. Because anybody goes to bar mitzvah, and you watch these kids, how quick their hands are, taking a drink
off of a tray that somebody's left and watching them polish it off, and how many kids are outside being sick that their parents are walking them or something is going on. So whether they figured out a great way of just not acknowledging stealing drinks at a, you know, at a social function is okay. I just really and truly believe, especially before they go to high school. And when you looked at some of the numbers on the next to the last chart, those numbers were a little higher when you talked about the availability of things. Yeah. I sort of think if you know how it's available, you've sort of figured out how to do it.
I don't disagree with you. We stress alcohol use and the dangers of alcohol from really from fifth grade on.
Yeah.
It used to be in our fourth grade presentation. We've moved it out of our fourth grade presentation, but our kids are exposed to it in fifth, sixth, and eighth grade. I don't disagree with you. That our kids do go to a lot of social gatherings through the middle school ages, and we need to make sure that they're aware of what's the consequences.
Yeah, I believe the national average is about age 10 is when kids start to experiment with this stuff and parts of sex.
Yeah, so. I mean, the Pride survey, I think, gives us a reference.
Exactly. That's what I said. Yeah. You know, I know how you were able to eliminate a lot of things when you go because you could see the catch questions, you know, in different ways it's phrased. But I just think it's just such an important thing to keep hammering away with these kids, because kids are mixing pills. They're putting things in drinks. They don't know what they're doing. And it's something we're going to have to deal with also as a school district.
I agree.
I think also, we as a school district and as a society have done very well with tobacco use because we see how it's gone down over time. I think we don't do as well with alcohol and marijuana and, I guess, prescription drugs. Clearly, that has become an issue recently. So I think we have to figure out ways, all of us, to do a better job with these other things.
And heroin also.
Yeah.
I mean, last year we brought in a detective from Suffolk County for our 8th graders and also for our 12th graders, who she does a phenomenal job of really addressing the issue. She brings in real-life situations of kids their age and the cycle of addiction that happens to what happened to this one, two people that got married at an Islanders game, and you see their picture, and then within 2 years, they were in jail for murdering three people in Patchogue for trying to steal opiates. Yeah. This is what she discusses with the 12th graders, just to show them the cycle and how quickly things can spiral, and the consequences. And the biggest thing that she tries to tell the kids is, they're drug dealers. They're not your friends. They are there to keep you addicted. They are not. Their job is to sell you drugs and not to be your friends. So as much as you see them glorified on TV and as much as you see them glorified in the community and on songs and movies, they are not there. They are not good people. And I thought that message to eighth graders when she said that was very powerful. That message, if you watch, listen, I admit it, I watched Narcos on Netflix. It glorifies the drug lords, but they make sure that they realize that these people are not good people, and that, you know. And she also talks about how marijuana is, if the 30% of the marijuana that they pull off the street is also already laced with opiates, so that the kids they're getting addicted, thinking that they're just smoking marijuana, but they're getting addicted to heroin and opiates just by smoking marijuana.
Yeah, we lost,
over the last few years, quite a few of our graduates to drug overdoses. And they were good kids who just made some bad choices in life and couldn't get out of that cycle that they were in. And I think it's our responsibility. Last year, the high school did a tremendous program. Mm-hmm. And I was just sorry that there weren't 1,000 people cramming in to hear about it. Because never say, not my kid. Never, ever. Because one of the parents said the biggest mistake she ever made was letting her guard down. And that there are the lessons that they learn. You know, you go away to college, and we hope we teach the kids to make good choices. And you're down one day, and somebody says, boy, can I make you feel good in a couple of minutes? And you don't know what's even happening to you, and this vicious cycle begins. So I think that the more we can inform just not our kids but our parents. Yep. We have to let our parents know it's not cute to laugh. My kid was soused, my kid was smoking some pot. Big deal. It is a big deal because, A, it's illegal to be doing it, and, B, they go away to school and they have choices to make, and some of these kids don't know when to stop unless they, you know.
Unless it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that they didn't put up on the Pride surveys where they tell you where the kids are using most of their drugs, and it's mostly at people's homes.
Yeah.
And safe. The social host law is a big thing I think that needs to be presented out there to a lot of the parents that even if you're not there and the kids are using it in your house, you're responsible for their actions in your home. So those are things that need to, I think, one of the things that you need to present to people, because that is a scary thing. That needs to be, our kids are using it in people's homes within the community, so.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Joe, and maybe once the information is distributed, the staff has time to evaluate it and make plans. I think we'd love to hear what those plans are going to be.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The BOCES referendum.
Before I do that, in 2012, when I first came here in the fall, I put together a community survey to get a sense of what the community valued and what some of the things that they wanted us to work on. Well, it's been 5 years, and we have done quite a bit of what the community had identified back then. And so it's time again for us to put out another survey to the community. And I've actually shared it with the board and shared it with Paula, PTA Council, just to get some feedback, shared it with all the administrators. And we are going to collected all the feedback, made some changes, aligned with the feedback, and we'll be putting it out on the web tomorrow morning to gather that feedback. It will be open through Thanksgiving, and then we'll make the we'll pull the data in and report back to the board in December. So we'll also e-blast it to all the homes. So, I hope you look forward to filling it out. This is just an announcement. The BOCES has been in the Carmen Road School for a very long time, and they finally are going to purchase that building. They're required by law to announce that to all the public, and the public will be able to go there and vote. They haven't done any formal notifications yet, but I just wanted the board to be aware, since we are all BOCES. I mean, BOCES is not an entity unto itself. We support BOCES, that they believe that by buying this building, they can bring some costs down. Massapequa School District has had this building. They've actually had it for, I think, 30 or 40 years. They've been there for a long time. So now they're going to purchase the building, and Massapequa is selling the building. So once we have more information, I will certainly share it with the public. They will have voting sites. It is a referendum that the public has to vote on, not the boards. The public actually has to go there and vote. Different sites. But
thank you. Okay, now we are entering into public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and, two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking, if non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could in some way be violated. We thank you in advance for being respectful of all of the speakers and our staff members. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. The floor is now open.
Gary Batan, 17, Frankie Lane. I'm just going down the laundry list. Don't expect any answers, but IDA.
Find the balance. Nassau County has very high taxes and regulations on businesses. Don't chase businesses out of Plainview or Nassau County. I'm looking to move my business and to buy a building, and I have to tell you that some of those tax breaks are quite significant. You don't realize that some of these commercial spots are paying $100,000 or more a year in taxes, and we're not talking about malls. We're talking about just commercial buildings in our area. The IDA needs to consider the impact on schools and make sure that the businesses take real roots lasting decades, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. IDA grants, when used properly, bring business, jobs, and tax revenues to local communities. And as a comment, I don't believe IDA tax breaks affect residential taxes at all. It only affects it if the county changes the ratios. As long as the ratio stays the same, it's between all the other commercial sites, correct?
I don't think so.
Next.
Never mind.
No, check into it, because if the county doesn't change the ratio, then if 65% is from residential, 65% is from residential. Okay. The bond. Have the new classrooms for Pasadena and Parkway been submitted to State Ed, as well as the work on the auditoriums? What's the status of the comfort station from our broke town of Oyster Bay? And my usual, has County Point made its first $2 million payment? Finally, great job on the proposal to name Parkway after Judy Jacobs. If anyone deserves to have a building named after her in our district, it's Judy. Naming a building makes it a permanent memorial to her, and Parkway is a great choice because of her deep connections to it and its great location right off of the expressway and the parkway. So it's just great job. Pride survey, I have a question, and I kind of mentioned it to Joe when he was over there, if you saw it, and that is, are we also including in the survey, you know, vaping, Molly, and these other synthetic drugs? Where does that fit in? The club drugs taken by high school and college kids. And then finally, a great job on the candidates night. It was very informative.
Thank you, Gary. Do you want to answer any of this?
I wrote it down, so I
a few of them I can respond to. And I believe I did speak to the IDA finding that balance, which is what the superintendents were speaking to, that we have to deal with it as a county. New classrooms for Parkway in Pasadena, those were the plans have already been submitted to the state. We think we're on the way, and we expect to begin building in the spring.
We expect that we'll receive approval within the next few weeks.
Right. So we intend to begin at the April break, to break ground on that. Comfort station, would the board give me an update? Do you want me to give the update? We met with the town of Oyster Bay, Councilwoman Alessia, and basically she has said, first of all, the bids came in way over what the budget was intended. So they had come back to us to say, we really can't afford this because it's way over, not just $5,000 or $10,000, it's quite a bit. And so that was an issue, and then now there is a real issue because the town really cannot afford to even give us what they had planned on giving us. So it really is back to the board to decide what we do. I still believe that a comfort station is a good thing to have, but the board needs to feel comfortable. We don't have it budgeted, and that would be up to the board to decide whether they're going to put that in the budget for next year. Good idea for a survey, the survey to include vape and synthetics, but that would be a suggestion that we could go up. I believe that answers all the questions. Right. So, no, we have not received anything yet.
They didn't shovel the first house.
Do you want to say something?
Well,
okay.
No. The issue is, and I believe you do know this, that even though we see a lot of development going on, it is about the residential portion of the that community, and that hasn't started yet. So we have the commercial pieces have, and our attorneys are staying on top of it for sure, and that they have apprised us of any time
even
soon.
Today, yeah.
Even today. we got communication another. Very soon. And again, for the public, it's a total of $6 million over the life of the building, $2 million when they break ground, and another two, and another two. Which leads us to the other thing, is that at some point this board will have to calendar publicly what we will do with those funds and start planning to align ourselves with the advice that we've gotten from our auditors. Performing Arts Center.
Was that a subliminal message?
Athletic complex like Farmingdale.
Another subliminal message. Hi.
Sarah Bogatti, 24 Juilliard Drive. I would just like to say thank you to the board for allowing the public to weigh in on how we want to honor Judy Jacobs. Being a Parkway parent, I think it's a wonderful honor that you have proposed to name the building after her, but I do think that it is a necessary thing to have not only Parkway parents, but the rest of the community mm-hmm. weigh in and how we should honor Judy. One of the things I was just thinking about while I was sitting there is possibly starting some kind of government program throughout the schools, middle school, even the elementaries and the high school, and name that as after Judy, since being part of the community and the government was so important to her, something that we continue to teach our children, even now that she's gone. That's just one of the things I was thinking about while I was there. But I just wanted to thank you for allowing the community to weigh in. But the question is, how are you going to do that? How are you going to get feedback from the community?
Good question.
How are we going to get feedback?
I guess they can send the comments to the superintendent. Or
People can come to the next. How will they know to send their comments?
How will they know to provide you with feedback?
I guess through the PTA.
There might be three.
Kind of like how they know to provide us with feedback for anything we're discussing. probably true.
I'm not posting there.
Hopefully, maybe Lorna, maybe you can reach out to all of
PTAs and ask them.
But
if you're looking for the community as a whole, that would include our senior citizens.
We'll engage our PTA.
Yeah, so.
You know, people will hear about it, but I think that basically it reaches a point where it could get just too big. I think that the educational community is where she had her biggest thing. Look, she did everything for the Chamber of Commerce. She did things for the library. She did things for the fire department. There's not any entity that she didn't do, but I think that we just have to try to keep it maybe a little close. Otherwise, you know, it's going to have to be Plainville, Bethpage, Judy Jacobs.
Community.
So, you know,
every
just
street.
We could put on the district's Facebook page. Any feedback should be directed to sarahbogatti@gmail.com, and then she can be the one responsible.
And actually, though,
kidding. Let the minute reflect. I am
good
kidding.
Idea. Can you?
We could put on our district blog.
Put it on our district website and Facebook page.
You could actually rename the community.
I don't know that we're in charge of doing that.
Judy Jacobs, POB.
You know, you're right, though. We should have, we need comments by a certain date.
Okay. By the next board meeting.
Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. Can I get a motion on routine business? Rennell, can I, a second? Jody, any hold separations discussion? All those in favor of routine business? Thank you. We're going to go on to new business. 11-4. No, we're starting with 11-1.
Right.
Can I get a motion that the Board of Education approve field trips for Parkway Elementary School and POB Middle School? Jody, second. Ginger, discussion? All those in favor? Thank you. Can I get a motion on the standard workday and reporting resolution for elected and appointed officials? I don't even know what that is. Rennell, I know. Second, Seth. Discussion. All those in favor? Can I get a motion on the 2016-2017 spring staff development proposals? Ginger, second. Rennell, discussion. All those in favor? And
Okay. Can I get a motion to go into executive session for matters of personnel relating to a particular individual? Can I get a motion? Rennell? Second? Lauren? All those in favor? Thank you all for coming. Drive home safely.
Don't forget to vote.
Oh, and don't forget to vote.